Today's shiur is Masechta Zochim, Daf Peches. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbaruch and Daf Peches. I'm an Aleph at the Mishnah towards the top of the Amid. It says the Mishnah Kli Halach, Kalim that are used in the Beis Hamikdash to measure liquids, Mekach Masalach. As anything liquidy is put into them, they make them have Kedusha. Omidas Yavish, things that are used, Kalim that are used in the Beis Hamikdash, to measure things that are dry, Mekadesh v'siyavish. Mekadesh, whatever is dry. Teaches us the Mishnah, Ein kli halach mekadesh v'siyavish. A keli that's used for liquids cannot be used for dry. V'lo yavish mekadesh v'siyavish. Nor can a keli that's used for dry materials be used for liquidy materials. Kli hakodesh shenikfu. If there's a hole that formed in one of these klisharis, if they're usable in a way that they were usable at the beginning, then mekachim, they have the ability to be mekadesh what's put into them. Vimlav, if they don't have that ability, if they can't be used for the way that they were originally meant to be used, then a mekachim, they don't have that ability. That means, if you had a keli that was used to measure wine, and now it could still be used, because let's say it's a keli that could hold a hin, and now and the hole is above the chatzi hin mark, so now it's still usable because it's usable for anything above, if anything that's above the for anything below the chatzi hin mark, so it's still usable somewhat, and therefore it's still going to be mekadesh. And now that's the posh pshat in the Gemara. However, there are rishonim that qualify this. They say if you have a keli that is used to measure a certain amount, and then as we just said, it develops a hole halfway down. So now it depends. If before it developed the hole, sometimes you're only measuring things that are up to that hole. So now it's perfectly usable as we used originally. Because originally it was also used to measure things that are only up to that point. But if beforehand it was never used to measure only up to that point, and now only because it developed this hole does it have this thing, now will it be used only for this amount, so then that's not considered usable as it was originally. It has to be that it was originally used for that purpose. What about if you have a keli that was used for liquids, and now, because it has a hole, it can no longer be used for liquids. But that doesn't mean it's not usable. It can be used for solids. So that, the Bar Tanur says, is not considered a situation that that's still usable for what it was usable originally. Because the fact that it was originally usable for liquids, and now it's only usable for solids, doesn't mean that it still serves the same purpose. Says the Mishnah further, V'kula e mekadesh el bazara. The only place that a keli can be mekadesh what's put inside of it is only in the azara. And the reason says that the klisharis themselves only get the status of klisharis by being used in the azara. That means one makes a klisharis have the kedusha of a klisharis. What makes the klisharis have the kedusha of a klisharis is that it's used in the azara. But if now we're at it where it's not in the azara, so it doesn't have the status of a kli sharis. The Chofetz Chaim, however, in a sefer Likutei Halachos, says yes, we're learning that it doesn't get kedusha until it's brought into the azara. But he suggests that if something was originally outside the azara, and now you're bringing it inside the azara with something in it, so even though it didn't have the kedusha before it was brought into the klisharis, as we just discussed, but the moment it comes into the klisharis moment it comes into that Zara, even though there was no new act of the Sina, there was no new act of putting into the Zara, the fact that it was brought into that Zara, now it will have the halacha that it will become Kaddish. Says the Gemara Mishmul, to which Shmuel comments, Loi Shana, this that we spoke about the Kalim, is Midos. Kalim that are used to measure dry material, moist material, liquid material. Avum Mizrukais, when we speak about the Mizrukais that we spoke about so many times in our Shurim, that they used to get liquid dam that is used to put on the Mizbeach. They are Mekachim, that they're Mekach, even something more dry that's put onto them. Shinema, the Pasuk speaks about the Kabbanis that the Nasiim brought, that when they, by the inauguration of the Mishkan, and the Pasuk says, they donated Karas Kesev or Mizrukri Kesev. Shnei Meloim Silas. So we see from here that even though the Mizrukais are typically used for liquid, Tirek Dosha says that these Karas Kesef can be, the Karas Kesef, the Mizruki Kesef, I'm sorry, were used for Silas. So we see that even though it's something that's Mizruk, which is typically used for something liquid, it still could be also kind of something that's dry. Asked the Gemara, maybe this mincha lachihi, why do we say that the mincha is considered something dry? Mincha is still moist because it has in it the shemen. Amalei, says the Gemara, what the raya that we're bringing from is liyavishaba, that even though the mincha was mixed together with oil, there's still parts of it that don't have any oil in them. And since we see that there are parts that don't have any oil in it, still those parts are mekadosh. And another answer is yes, a mincha can be considered something liquidy, but that's only when we talk about a kavanah mincha versus something which is even more dry because it has no oil. But certainly we compare mincha compared to dam, to blood, it's certainly considered yavesh. And still, the Torah says that the mizrukais can be used for kavanah mincha, even though it's normally used for something liquid like blood, which is certainly a lot more liquidy than a kavanah mincha. Continues the Gemara, Amar Shmuel, Klisharis ein mekadshim ela shleimim. Klisharis can only be mekadsh what's put into them when they are whole. Ein mekadshim ela meleim. The next halacha is that they could only be mekadsh when you put the proper shear. Like the Torah says, typically by Kavan Mincha, you're supposed to put an isorin into the Kavan Mincha or slice a soinim. If you didn't put the right amount, it won't be mekadsh. So Rashi says that if you didn't put in the right amount, then you won't be Mekadosh. So the question that everybody knows that comes up on Chanukah is the question of Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef asks, why is Chanukah 8 days? The first day of Chanukah, there was no Nes. The Nes only happened the second day. So there are many answers given to that question. And the Beis Yosef, one of the answers that the Beis Yosef himself suggests is that the oil that they had left over, they divided into 8 parts, and therefore on the first night of Chanukah, they only had 1/8 of the amount of oil that they're supposed to use. And the next was that even on that night, that small amount of oil burnt the whole night. But the question is that how is that allowed to be done? We're learning now in our Gemara that whenever you put something into Kli Shoris, the halacha is you have to put in the proper amount. As our Gemara just said, en kli shoris mekadshim en ela meleim. So if you have to put in a certain amount and they put in less and they had more, how did they do the mitzvah? Says Reb Nachum Zemba, beautiful teretz. He says that when we speak about meleim, so he says the halacha meleim teaches us that a carbon has to have a certain shear or whatever material. And if you didn't put in the proper amount, then it's meaningless because you have to put in the amount that is the amount that the Torah wants to be used for this carbon. However, suggest the Reb Nachum Zemzatzal. He says that what is the mitzvah of the burning of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash? So he says the mitzvah of the burning of the Beis HaMikdash is that every moment there should be a menorah lit in the Beis HaMikdash. If that's the halacha, that every moment there should be a menorah lit in the Beis HaMikdash, so then the halacha is very different. Because for every minute, there's a separate mitzvah to have the menorah burning in the Beis HaMikdash. And for that moment, you only need a drop of oil. So if you put in oil into the menorah, even though you didn't put in enough for the whole night, it doesn't mean that you didn't put in enough. Because you put in enough for the first moment that you have to have enough oil. And that's a mitzvah for itself. And therefore, even if you didn't fill up the cup, that's not an issue. Furthermore, they're only mekadosh what's in the keli itself. And some suggest that ain mekadosh el shleimim. They're only mekadosh when they're whole, melei and full, umevafnim when the keli is actually in the zara. Ask the Gemara, my benai. The Gemara just gave us two different versions, and the Gemara wants to know what is the difference between the two versions. Answers the Gemara, ikibenayu berutze midas. We know sometimes when you fill up a keli, you could fill it up that it overflows over the rim. The first opinion holds that the kelim are only mekadosh what's in them. But if there's something overflowing on the top, that won't have any kedusha. But they not only won't it have any kedusha, but it will prevent what's in the keli from getting kedusha. The second opinion is, but what's in the keli is kadosh. What's above the keli won't be kadosh. But even though what's above the keli won't be kadosh, it won't prevent what's in the keli from being kadosh. It won't be mekadosh what's overflowing, but it won't prevent what's inside. The Mesnisa Tana, something about the Brisa teaches us another version. Emekachim el shleimim. The keli sharis only have the ability of mekadosh when they are whole, not when they have any holes, umaloyim, and when they have the entire shear that we have to have, umitoicham, and they have to be mekadosh only what's in the keli, not anything that overflows, umifnim. And that is a new halacha. And that is that it has, that's only mekadosh when it's in, only bifnim, only when they're inside the azara. Says the Gemara, this that we just learned, that the keli is not mekadosh unless they have the entire amount that it's supposed to have. It's only she'ein da'ata l'hoisef, if there's no intention to add more. Avo da'ata l'hoisef, but if there's an intention to add as much as you need to have, then the halacha is rishin kodesh. As you're putting different amount into the keli, since it's ultimately your intention to put in the amount that you're supposed to put in, then the halacha is that it's going to be kadosh. It says the Maratani Nami Hachi. The Braisa supports what we just said. The Pasuk, again, going back to the Pasuk that speaks about the carbon that the Nesim brought, the Pasuk says, Shneim Malayim Silas. A Malayim, the definition of Malayim is Shleimim, that they have the whole shear. Amar Rabbi Yossi, to which Rabbi Yossi comments, A Masai, when is the halacha that it has to have the whole shear? There's man shein da'at al-hoysa, when there is no intention to bring it up to the amount that it has to have. Avo da'at al-hoysa, if there's an intention to bring it up to the amount that it has to have, then rishon kodesh, every drop that you put in will be kodesh. The Brisker Rav says that there are two halachas here. One halacha is speaking about the kli sharis. The Brisker Rav explains that what the Torah is teaching us is that the kli sharis does not have the ability to do what it needs to do unless it has the amount that you need to use. But then, adds the Brisker Rav, there's another halacha, and that is halacha in the Karban Mincha. When we're bringing a Karban Mincha, how much in order for the Korban Mincha to get the halacha of the Korban Mincha, it has to have in it the proper shear. And if you don't have in it the proper shear, then the Korban Mincha cannot be considered a proper Korban Mincha. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, that a keli that's used for liquid cannot be used for something dry. To which the Gemara comments, Amaravi Tamir Vasi, Amakachim Likarif. It can't be used to bring that, whatever I put into Klisharis, onto the Mizbeach. Amakachim Liposel. That the Aloch is that all the Alochas that will disqualify things that are put into Klisharis will be applicable even if you put it in when they're into the wrong type of keli. Ikad mas laha, and some say that this halacha that we just learned applies to a different halacha. The halacha is, we can't bring all these different types of kabanas, will be kurim min meduma. The definition of meduma is something that truma is mixed with chulin. Because even though if we think this way, there's a machlokes Rashi in Tosfos. What is the definition of meduma? Rashi explains the definition of meduma is that you have tevel and chulin mixed together. The halacha is that this mixture a Yisrael may not eat because the tevel has in it truma, and a Yisrael may not eat truma. So since a Yisrael may not eat truma, the tevel, which has truma in it, becomes also to Yisrael. So even though, explains Rashi, it's permissible to a Kayin, because the Kayin could eat this, because if it's chulin, everybody could eat it. And if it's tevel, and there's truma in it, that's not a problem for a Kayin. But says Rashi, that the Torah, when it describes what type of ingredient can be used for carbon, the Torah says, Mimashki Yisrael. And since this cannot be eaten, as we just finished explaining, by Yisraelim, it's not in the category of a Mashke Yisrael. And since it's not in the category of Mashke Yisrael, that's why it cannot be used as an ingredient in a Korban Mincha. Tosfos says that Mashke Yisrael is anything that could be eaten by somebody is kosher for carbon. So even though it can't be eaten by Yisraelim, but it can't be eaten by Kohanim. And that's enough to make it into kosher ingredient. Therefore, Tosfos says that the definition over here of Menaduma, is something that's mixed together with Orlo or Kalei Akerem, which that even Kohanim may not eat. And that's why it's not Mashke Yisrael, because there's no Yisrael that can't eat it. Vein Tzarich Lomer, and certainly you can't use something that's Orlo and Kalei Akerem. So, ask the Chasam Sofer and Rabbi Chanan and the Kibbutz Shiurim, ask that the halacha is that Orla and Kala Akerim are also Bahano. And therefore they ask, since they are also Bahano, they can't be Magdish something that it's not considered the property of the person who's being Magdishit. And since it's not considered the property of the person who's being Magdishit, so then of course it can't become Kaidish. Says the Gemara, says the Shas HaTshuvas on the Yontav to answer this, that Kiddush Klisharis is different than Hegdish that one designates. When somebody designates, so the halacha is, I cannot designate something to be Hegdish if it's also Mahanob. Here, we're talking about Klisharis. The halacha is that the Klisharis have the ability to Makadish anything put in them. And has nothing to do with the das of the person who's being mekadesh them, says the Gemara. So ein tzarich lomar orlo of a kalei karim cannot be used for orlo of a kalei karim cannot be used as an ingredient. So the Chavetz Chaim says that if the halacha is that we can't use meduma, so we certainly can't use all of tevel or a truma, all these different foods. Why do we have to say them separately? So he says that the gerus of the Gemara maybe should be the other way around. First we learn the halacha of all of kalei karem, and then we learn the halacha of meduma. And if you use any of these ingredients like Kiddush, the Kli Shos does not have the ability to Mekadosh them. Amar Rav Yitem Ravasi, to which the Gemara says, Rav Ravasi, like Kiddush Lekarev, that the Aloch is that they cannot be used to be bought on the Mizbeach, but they do have the Aloch that they become possible. Then let's say, as we said before, if they were taken out of the Azara or any other type of disqualification, they must be burnt. Tana Rabbanan continues to brise the Kli Kodesh and Nikfu. If there was a hole that formed in a Kli Hegdish, we can't try to melt it down to make it, to close up the hole. We can't pour into it a lead patch, because the Aloch is Ein Anias V'makam Ashiris. And that's not the way we use Kalim in the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, we use Kalim that we don't have to repair. Nifkamu, if we have a Kali that got ruined, Ein Mitzaken HaSoy. Again, it's not covered in the Beis HaMikdash to repair it. Saken Shenifkata, or we have a knife that formed a nick, normally the halacha speaks about repairing a knife. We know that that's often done with a knife that's used for shechita. That is not done with a knife in the Beis HaMikdash. Nishmata, if the handle of the knife separates from the blade, so we can't put it back in. There was a knife that often got ruined in Beis HaMikdash, and it made the karbonis that were used, because as we know, a knife that has a begima disqualifies, makes the animal a trefa, and that's for the nimnu, the karam, the side of a nimnu for ganzua. So here we're learning that a knife that develops a nick, we can't fix in the Beis HaMikdash. So Rashi says, that's only by a begima gedoyla, when it's a very significant type of begima. When it's small and not noticeable, then we can fix it. Because otherwise, it would never be possible to have these types of knives. Knives are always forming begimas. It doesn't make sense, he seems to say, that she would have to turn out. Always have to throw them out. There's sort of a concept that we need to understand. On one hand, the Gemara is teaching us, Ein Anis B'Makam Ashiris. And if Kalim and the Beis HaMikdash get broken, then we don't look to repair them. That's not the way things are done in the Beis HaMikdash. On the other hand, we have a concept of HaTorah Chasa Amemanish Yisrael. The Torah is most concerned about money that's used for Klal Yisrael. And since the Torah is so concerned about that, why are we so quick to throw out these Kalim? So the Neid of Yehuda discusses this issue, and the Neid of Yehuda says that in a place where the Torah says that we should use Zav or Kesef, where the Torah specifically uses, tells us to use Zav or Kesef, that's where the Torah says that money is not allowed to be an object. But in a place where the Torah doesn't say Zav or Kesef, then the Torah is Chasam Amon Shal Yisrael. That's what Noda Behuda says. But then he suggests a different pshat. He says that that's exactly part of the purview of the Chachamim. He says that it's up to the Chachamim to decide when do we say Ein Anis V'Makom Ashiris, and when do we say that Torah Chasam Amonim Shal Yisrael? The Minchas Chinuch says that there's a question. What is the status of the knife that was used to shech Kabonis? He says, from Al Gemara, we seem to have a raya that the status of the knife, he says, was a Kli Shoris. Because all these special halachas would not be applicable if they weren't the Kli Shoris. Tanabonon, the way we create the Big Day Kuna is not that we make the different parts of the Beged and then we sew them together, but we sew the whole garment in one time. This galu, Furthermore, if the big dick kahuna get dirty, we don't use nests of oil, we don't use different types of detergent to wash it. Is mashma, hamamayim, mechapsim. If detergent, we can't use. If the iser is, ain anis b'makam ashiris, so what's the difference if using detergent or using water? This is what to understand the brisa. Huga b'mayim, if they just got a little dirty. And what's the proof that they're not very dirty? That all you need is water to wash them? Then mechapsan asoy b'nesel v'oil. Then we can even use detergent to wash it. Because it never really got that dirty. Hugel nesel v'oil. But if it got so dirty that you need to have detergent to wash it, without detergent, the white, the stain won't come out, then the halacha is apa mayim mechapsin, then we can't even use water to wash them. V'yeshayim, echem mechapsin ha'isa kol ikar, any beggar in the base of Migdash cannot be washed, because, as we keep on repeating in our shir, ein anis b'makam ashiris, it's not the way that things should be done in the base of Migdash. Of course, the Lakutei Halacha says that if somebody did wash one of the Big Day Kuhuna, and now it's clean, the halacha is that you would be allowed to wear and do the avoida in that and those begotten. Another point that I saw is a machloikus rishonim, the Kiryas Sefer quotes, if this halacha of ein anis b'makam ashiris is a din d'oraisa, some rishonim hold, other rishonim hold that it's only a din de rabbanim. Tarabbanim, the mill that the Kohen Gadol wore, kula shel tcheles haya. It was completely made out of tcheles. And the Rashbam explains that the point that, just like as we're going to learn, the Eifet and Choshen were there to remind us of different things. We know that the Tarek Doshe says that tcheles, just like the tcheles and the tzitzis, the Tchelis, say Chazal, Doimel L'yam, V'yam Doimel L'Rukia, the Tchelis looks like the sea, and the sea looks like the sky, V'Rukia Doimel L'Kisei Kovid, and that reminds us of the Kisei HaKovid. So too, did they make this garment out of the Tchelis, because we wanted it to serve a reminder. And the way it serves as a reminder by wearing tcheles and having it that way. Furthermore, I saw the Torah Tumima points out that even though the Torah already says that it should be made out of tcheles, what is the Gemara, as the pasuk we're going to learn, says? What is the Gemara coming to teach us? Says the Torah Tumima that the pasuk here is coming to teach us that it has to be completely made out of tcheles. There may not be any other material, mixed into it. It has to be kulay tcheles. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, v'yasas amila eifed kol tcheles. Shulav, the hem of the mill, ketzad, how was it made? Mevi tcheles v'agam v'sla shani shizurim. We bring different types of thread of blue wool and purple wool and red wool, and we roll them together, v'aysanayson, and they are then rolled together to look like reminim, to look like pomegranate, that the mouth, the top of the pomegranate, did not yet open. Or they look like the buttons that were on the head, on the hat that children used to wear. Children used to wear these types of hats that had a button on the top of them. Maybe Shnaim v'Shnaim Zogim. We bring 72 bells made out of gold. Shebehen Shim v'Shnaim Imbalin. And each one has a clapper inside the bell. V'Toyle behen. And they used to put these bells on the bottom of the mill next to the Remoinim. Shloshim v'Shishim Itzadzeh. 36 from one side, v'shloish v'shishim b'tzadzeh, and 36 from the other side. Reb Daisimer Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Shloshim Vishalo Shayu. There were only a total of 36, not of 72. And Ashmana Asar Mitzadzeh, 18 on one side, Vishmana Asar Mitzadzeh, and 18 on the other side. There's a Machlokes Rishonim, exactly how was the mill made. Some say that the mill was made that you just put your head in it. And some say it was made out of two parts. And I saw that those that want to suggest, it's Machlokes Rashi and Ramban, and they want to suggest that that Machlokes is connected to this Machlokes. If it was made out of one piece, then there were 36 entirely, 18 on one side, and 18 on the other side. But if they weren't made out of one piece, if they were made out of two pieces, then it was 36 on one side, 36 on one side, and 36 on the other side. So I saw that the Imre Shammai explains that what is this number of 72? He says that there are different mounts of Negoim. And since, as we're going to learn soon in the Gemara, that the Me'il is Mechaper on Lashon Hara, and we know that the Negoim come because of Lashon Hara, so that's why the mount of, we have the mill make the same sound as the something that makes noise and be quiet to remind us about Lashon Hara and the maris of the Lashon Hara that come when somebody is not careful. Omer Rav Yonani Ben Shoshim, the same machloikis that we have here about how many pamoinim and reminim we have in the mill, machloikis b'maris negoim. As we just said, the maris negoim that come from Lashon Hara. The Tanan, as the Mishnah Masechta Negoim teaches us, maris negoim, how many shades of maris negoim are there? Rav Chanina bat Taisa Omer Shloshim v'Shisha, there are 36. And a Kavi ben Haloimer Shim Mishnayim, there are 72. And therefore the mill, which is, as we just said, connected to the Lashon Hara, has the corresponding amount of bells. Says the Gemara, Vamar Rav Yoni bar Shoshin, Lama Nisbucha Pash Kabanas to Pash Big Dekuna. Why do we find in the Torah that the Torah speaks about the Pash of Kabanas next to the Pash of the Big Dekuna? Lama Lach to teach us that Ma Kabanas Mechaprim, just we know as we've been discussing throughout our Masechta, that the Kabanas are Mechaprim when somebody does an Aveira, after the Kuna Mechaprim, so too do the Big Dekuna have the ability to be Mechaprim for Averis. So the Kli Yoker says that when the Torah speaks about the Big Dekuna, the Torah says, Ve'elo Godam Shiyasu, Choshin Ve'efid. So the Torah speaks about making the choshim before making the eifed. But when the Torah then goes on to describe how these big dekuna were made, the Torah first speaks about the eifed and then the choshim. And then in Parshas Pekudei, again the Torah mentions the eifed before the choshim. So why is there this inconsistency? So he says, as we just learned in the Gemara, that Chazal teach us, the choshen is mechaper on dinim, if there isn't honesty. And the eifed is mechaper on avodah zarah. The mill is mechaper on lashon hara. The ksoinus is mechaper on shvichas damim. And the metznefes is mechaper on gas seruach. And the avnet is mechaper on lehir arev. And tzitz is mechaper on ezes netzach. And mechnasayim is mechaper on Gilei Arayos. So that's why the Torah mentions first the Choshen before the Eifed, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more concerned a world where there's no dinim, a world where people aren't careful in the way they interact with each other, more than Avodah Zarah. And the best Raya the Kli Yoker could see is that by the Dor HaFloga, where people were speared, versus the Dor HaMabul, where it was destroyed. Because in the Dor HaMabul, when it was Gezela, so therefore the world was destroyed. That's Dinim. And Dor HaFloga, where there was no belief in Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu spared them. And that's the message HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending to Klal Yisrael by mentioning the Choshen before it mentions the Eifed. Klal Yisrael, however, when they came to manufacture these Begadim, they wanted to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are more concerned with your covet than with our covet. And that's why the Torah says when Klal Yisrael came to build, to make the Begadim, they made the Eifed to be the before the Choshen. And the Kli Yoker says there's a precedent for this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Nekoyim nikmas b'nei Yisrael meisim b'jonim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concerned about the honor of Kli Yisrael. But what did Moshe Rabbeinu say? Lo seis nikmas Hashem b'midjon. HaKadosh Moshe Rabbeinu was more concerned about the covet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As we're learning in our Gemara, that the various Big Day Kahuna, each one of the Big Day Kahuna, the Torah speaks about, we're going to learn what Avera are they Mechaper. It's interesting, when the Torah speaks about the Eifed, the Torah says that the Osuas Eifed, Beloshin Rabbim. So I saw that the Sefer, the Chi Yosef explains, why does it say over here va'osu b'loshen rabim? So he explains, by all averus, you're only oved avera when you actually do the avera. But when it comes to avodah zarah, we know that the avera avodah zarah is already violated when you have the machshava of avodah zarah. And therefore it says va'osu both for the maisa and for the machshava. Says the Gemara, sinus. The Ktsoinus is Mechaper al Shvichas Dam. The Ktsoinus is Mechaper for Shvichas Dam. Shenema v'yishkutu, as the Pasuk says, when they sold Yosef, v'yishkutu series and v'yitzu Ktsoinus b'dam, that Tefillah was the Kapara, and the Torah is saying that this is the way we will have a Kapara for the Shvichas Dam that they wanted to do, what the Shvichas Dam that they wanted to do on Yosef. We go in Mechos Mechnesayim Mechaper on Gil Arayis Shnema Vaseila Mechnes Abad Lechasois Vaser Arva. So we see that what the Torah is trying to do is to cover up the Arva, which is related to Gil Arayis. Mitznefes Mechaper Sagis Gasei Ruach. The Mitznefes is Mechaper on somebody who's arrogant. Menayin Amravuna Yova Dovisha Begoiva. The mitznefes is worn on top of the head of the kohen, which is high up. V'chaper al goyva, it'll be mechaper on somebody who is arrogant. And therefore, as I saw the Sefer Tapuche Chaim explains, that just like the Chazal teach us in Masechet Shabbos, k'si reishach, ki heich d'havloch emsu d'shmaya, cover your head. By covering your head, you'll have proper Yerushimayim. And if you don't cover your head, you won't have Yerushimayim. Who is the individual who is prone not to have proper Yerushimayim? That's the person who is arrogant. And that's why the Torah says that cover your head, put on the mitznefes, and that will cause that you'll be humble and you'll have the proper Yerushimayim. The Rav Shlomo Shodran explains that the Ksoinus is Mechaper on Shvichas Adam. So he explains that we don't really have a good understanding of this entire thing that the Shvatim did, that they took this Ksoinus Pasim and they put it into Dam. What was the thinking? So he explains that the Torah, that we have to understand the story. And we have to understand the story in the light of this Gemara. In our Gemara, he says, we're learning that the Ksoinus is Mechaper on the Shvichas Dam. And because we learn it from the Shvatim. He says, what are we learning from here? What we're learning from here is that the Ksoinus has, that the Shvatim didn't really do anything wrong. And on the contrary, it's coming to teach us that we have to be what we think they did wrong was really a preparation for them to bring a kapara to Klal Yisrael. The Avnet Mechaper al Halev, the Avnet is Mechaper as somebody who has bad machshavas, because Hechad Issa, where exactly is the Avnet put? The Avnet is put right under the heart, which represents the Her Halev. The Choshen, Mechaper Adinim, the Choshen is Mechaper, the people on honest and dinim. Shenema, as the Pasuk says about the Choshen, Vasisa Choshen HaMishpat. So we see that the Choshen is collected to the Mishpat. The Eifed, Mechaper Avedis Kachavim, the Eifed is Mechaper of somebody did an Aveir Avedis Zara. Shenema Ve'ein Eifed, where there is no Eifed, then where there is no Eifed, then Trofim, there's going to be Avodah Zarah. So many people ask, the Avnet wasn't really put right under the heart. It was put lower down. Says the Pnei Menachem, the purpose of the Avnet is to separate between the upper part of the body and the lower part of the body. What is the Torah trying to teach us? That we have to concentrate and think about the upper part of the body, the part that we use for Avodas Hashem, not the lower part of the body. The Gemara just said that Eifed is Mechapa Avodas Zorah. So asks Rav Chaim Kanievsky that the Gemara says in Masechta Yuma, Daftesa Mebeis, the Beis HaMikdash Rishon was Chariv because of Avodas Zorah. But he asks, didn't they have the Eifed during the Beis HaMikdash Rishon? So if they had an Eifed during the Beis HaMikdash Rishon, the Eifed should have been Mechaper Aveira of Avodah Zarah. Why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Says Rav Chaim, a number of Terutzim. One Terutz, he says, is that the Eifed is only Mechaper a Machshava of Avodah Zarah. But when somebody actually worshiping Avodah Zarah, the Eifed can't be Mechaper. Another says that he says that the Eifed is only Mechaper if individuals worship Avodah Zarah. But if Chas V'Shalom, Rechman Tzlan, the entire Tzibur is worshipping Avodah Zarah, there the Eifed does not have the ability to Mechaper. Another shot that he suggests is that when does the Eifed have the ability to do three Mechaper? That's only when it's not rampant in Klal Yisrael. But when it's rampant in Klal Yisrael, then the Eifed doesn't have the ability to be Mechaper. Then he says another Teretz. He says, if the Aloch is that the Eifed has the ability to be Mechaper on Avodah Zarah, so he asks, so we know that if somebody worships Avodah Zarah b'mezid, he's Chayiv Skila. So why would anybody ever be Mechayiv Skila for worshiping Avodah Zarah? The Eifed should be Mechaper on that Aveira. What is the answer? So he says that the answer is that the Eifed can be Mechaper on Avodah Zarah only if it wasn't done b'mezid. If it's done b'mezid and the Torah gives us instructions, what is the Aveira, then the Aloch is, then the Eifed can't be Mechaper. He says what happened during that time they were worshiping Avodah Zarah b'mezid, the Eifed cannot be Mechaper. Mil Mechaper Lashon Hara, the Mil is Mechaper Lashon Hara. Minayin, how do we know that? Omrav Knei Yovah Dovish B'kol. As we said earlier in the Shir, the Eifed, the Mil made noise with those bells on the bottom, and they have the ability to be Mechaper on the Avodah Zarah, on Lashon Hara, that is spoken with the amount. So I saw that the Sefer Imrus Hashem explains that the Eifed, the Torah says, V'hoye pi roisha b'sachloi, that the person should keep what he has to say inside. And therefore, since the Torah says that you should keep it inside, that's how you avoid the problem of Lashon Hara. The Sefer Levi Omar says that the Torah, when it speaks about the pamainim and the remainim. The pamainim we know is the bell, as we said earlier. And the bell is what represents, makes the noise. And the remain, as we learned, were made out of wool. They didn't make any noise. The Torah is telling us that a lesson, that there's two remainim for every one pamainim. What is the Torah teaching us? That we should always try to talk, to speak, to be quiet, double the amount that we speak. The tzitz mechapa as his ponim. The tzitz is mechapa in somebody who has chutzpah. The tzitz ksiv v'hoya metzach aron. V'az his ponim ksiv metzach isha zoyna hoyaloch. That a person that who has as his ponim is a person who is not embarrassed. And it says the pasuk metzach, the word metzach, forehead, which is the word that's used, but which is the word that's used by the tzitz to show us the connection. Says the Gemara, Eini, is that true that the bigdei kahuna are mechaper on all these averus? V'amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, shnei dvarim lematzin l'kabanas, with the two averus that we don't see that a carbon should bring kapara for them. Matzilan carbon makamacha, but we find a kapara elsewhere. Veilein, shvich estam veloshen hara. Shvich estam egla rufa. The Torah speaks about egla rufa, that when a corpse, Rachmanat's son, is found, v'loinoida miyukua, and we don't know who killed that person, we bring an egla rufa, and that's what brings a kapara. Veloshen hara, and find the Lashon Hara has a kapara through the Ketoris. The Tani, Rav Chananya, Menayin leKetoris mechaperis. How do we know the Ketoris has the ability to mechaper? Shenemar, the Pasuk tells us by Aaron, after the story with Kairach, and there was a Negev, there was a pandemic in Klal Yisrael, the Pasuk says, V'yitnet se Ketoris v'chaper alo'om. The kaparis is what brought a kapara. The Tani debay Rabbi Shmuel, Amal Ktaris Bechaperis. What is the Ktaris Bechapa for a Lashon Hara? Yovadovish Bechashai. The Ktaris is brought in the Mizbeach HaPnimi. And the Pasuk says, especially on Yom Kippur, where the Ktaris was such an important part of the Avodah, says the Torah V'chol Odom Lo Yeh Ba'al Mayid. So it's done in a very private place, that it's Mechaper on Lashon Hara, that one person speaks badly about another person quietly, not in public. Before we said, here we say the Ketoris is Mechapa on Lashon Hara. And before we said that the Me'il is Mechapa on Lashon Hara. And Kash Shvich Stamma Shvich Stammim. Here we're saying that the Aglaruf is Mechapa. And before we said that it was the Ksoinis that's Mechapa. Answers the Gemara, Loi Kasha, the Ha, the Dia Mankatli, where we know who is the murderer, so that's not where the Torah speaks about an Egla Rufa, that's where the Torah is Mechaper. Ha, the Loi Dia Mankatli, and we don't know who the murderer is, then the Aloch is that the Egla Rufa is Mechaper. So if we know who the murderer is, why do we need a kapara through the me'il? The murderer will be taken out. So the Mefarshim will explain that every person who participates, every member of Klal Yisrael is responsible if there's murder in Klal Yisrael. So those people are not killed. And we're all responsible. It says, "We have lashon hara, lashon hara, nami kasha." Habit sina, a person who speaks lashon hara privately, the ktiris which is done privately is mechaper. Habit feresia, when the lashon hara is said publicly, there we need to have it's not going to be the ktiris that's mechaper. There the aloch is it's the mill, and as we explained before, that makes the noise that a mechaper. So the question that was asked of Chaim Kanievsky, so it's saying that when Lashon Hara is done publicly, it's the mill, not the ktiris. So he asked, the Lashon Hara of Kairach was in public. So if the Lashon Hara of Kairach was in public, why does the Torah say that the ktiris was mechaper on the Lashon Hara. It should have been the Me'il that's Mechaper. So he answers that the fact that they said publicly, Moshe and Aaron were Mechaper. They were Mespowel. The only thing that was left over is that they tried to cause quietly a rebellion in Klal Yisrael, and for that they needed to have the Ketores to serve as a Kapara. Hanun Loch HaMizbech Mekadosh, Hanun Loch HaMizbech Mekadosh, Hanun Loch HaMizbech Mekadosh.